With me to Exodus chapter 25, and secondly, you'll find in your bulletin an insert that has a drawing of the tabernacle. Let me encourage you to pull this out and have it ready to look at, because we're going to be looking at this insert and sort of explaining some things to you. And if you want to, you can even take notes on the back of the insert, but we're going to be doing that this morning. And the tabernacle, which is the main topic of chapters 25 through 30. You'll be glad to know we're not going to read every verse of chapter 25 through 30. We do want to be able to get you out in time for lunch. But I want to focus on verses 1 through 8 and ask you to keep your Bibles open before you, because we'll be looking at some other places in Exodus chapter 25. And I'll be referring you to some other places in the Bible. Hear now the Word of God as it comes to us from Exodus 25, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the Word of God. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. The offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastplate." Then pay close attention to verses 8 and 9. "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Keep your Bibles open. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for not only the instruction, but the inspiration and the guidance here in this tabernacle. Lord, we pray that you'll open your Word to us so that it will change our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was growing up, there's a song that was played frequently on the radio. You still hear it a lot on the radio. It's a song that struck a chord with many people. It went something like this: "Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home where my thoughts escaping, home where my music's playing, home where my love lies waiting silently for me." You know, you take this idea of home in music, whether you're listening to Michael Bublé, the Beatles, Dean Martin, John Denver, Josh Turner, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simon and Garfunkel, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Philip Phillips, you're going to hear songs about home. In movies, we have Home Alone, Home for the Holidays, and a movie that absolutely makes me embarrassingly cry at the end of it, a movie about two dogs and a cat called Homeward Bound. On television, family and homes becomes the constant refrain of our culture, from the 1970s, All in the Family, to this past year's This Is Us. And we also see Little House on the Prairie, Home Improvement, and a cable network dedicated to home improvement, HGTV. You can see home is branded into our culture. It is tattooed into our emotions. As a matter of fact, just to mention the word home should in your minds, your memories, bring up both positive and negative memories. Now, speaking of home, when it comes to your relationship and my relationship to home, we all tend to fall under one of two categories. Either you are a wanderer or you are a nester. Let me explain. If you're a wanderer, you're always looking for that place. You know, there's this place I'm looking for. I'm going to go here, 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 and then one day I'm going to find this place to settle down and call home. That's being a wanderer. Then if you're a nester, wherever your home is, you want to create a home. You want to provide a place to settle in, a place where your children can grow up, can come back for a visit, a safe, familiar place that you look forward to returning to. As someone once said, home is that place that you can walk in and go, wow, I'm home. Now, whether you're a wanderer or nester, actually that's two sides of the same coin. I'm talking about the golden coin of a longing for home. Fact of the matter is, deep in the deepest part of who you are, in your heart this morning, you long for home. Somewhere deep inside, you know as well as I do, this home, wherever I am, it's not my real home, but I am longing to one day be in a place that I can finally call home. Whether you live in a small house, in a trailer park, or in a 5,000 square foot house, or even in the Biltmore in Asheville, North Carolina, you realize, I am not home yet. Now, in the story that explains our story, that is the story of redemption, the story of Scripture, long, long time ago, we had some ancestors by the name of Adam and Eve who lived in a beautiful garden home known as Eden. You can read about that in Genesis 2. We once lived in a place of a provision and plenty, a place of security and safety. In the middle of this home was a tree of life. And you know the best thing about this home in which we used to live, because we are all connected to Adam and Eve. The best place about this home was that God was there. The Lord God was present, and we were at home with God. But then something very tragic happens in Genesis 3. We rejected God. We chose not to trust God. We slapped our Heavenly Father in His face by determining for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And we still do that. See, in time and space and history, we were given an eviction notice from our first home. It's stark how Genesis 3 ends. Let me read it to you. Verses 24, it says, He drove the man out. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way so there'd be no return to the tree of life. Here we are, wherever we are, banished from Eden, living life east of Eden. Just look around you. Just watch the TV. Read the internet. Every day, this culture and we ourselves are finding ourselves further and further away from God, drifting further east of Eden. And we still haven't found what we're looking for. We feel dislocated, without deep roots. The longing's still there. We want to get back home. Here in Exodus 25, we encounter a nation on its way to the Promised Land. In the Promised Land, Israel will have a home, but this home in the land of Canaan, like our own, here in Rankin and Madison and Hinds County, this home is only a glimmer in our eyes, a taste on our tongues, a signpost pointing beyond where we live to something else, to our true eternal home. You know, to remind us that we once had a home, to remind us that we're not home yet, there's a picture here for all of us. It's something called a tabernacle. It's a reminder of where we once were and where we hope to be one day. Now, as far as the structure is concerned, tabernacle is a tent. It's a tent surrounded by a fence. You know the dimensions, it's 15 feet wide, 45 feet long, has two rooms, surrounded by a tall fence about the size of two basketball courts. There's a courtyard and around the tent. And this tent is significant because the tabernacle is a communication from God to us. And there's two clear messages we receive today from the tabernacle. First message is this. The tabernacle reminds us of the home we lost and the home we long for. The home we lost, the home we long for. Now, as you walk around this structure, this tent surrounded by a courtyard, embedded in the architecture and all the fabrics and everything, we hear in our hearts echoes of Eden. See, the tabernacle is full of whispers of eternity, echoes of Eden. We read earlier about gold and onyx. You know, Eden was, it's just hard to imagine, just a treasured place. Gold in the land, gold on top of the land, aromatic resin and onyx. In other words, in our original home, everything had value. Can you imagine living in a place with no junk? No hand-me-downs, no bargain basement, seasonal closeouts? You know, our gracious Heavenly Father in our original home gave us only the best. And one day, by God's grace alone, we will live again in a good and treasured place. Now, if you look at verse 31, it's an interesting verse here in chapter 25. It says, make a lampstand of pure gold, hammered out, base and shaft. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. There's this lampstand that looks like a tree. And in this particular area, you have all kinds of engravings, things woven into the fabric that reminds you of the Garden of Eden, the Tree of Life in the first garden home we had. And if you fast forward to Revelation 21, you see that again. You see, God's people are designed to live in a place where we are nourished, a place where there is life and light and abundance. We're not designed to live in a place of want and need. And for those of us who are emotionally and relationally and spiritually malnourished, if not physically malnourished, to those of us who live in darkness, to those of us who allow ourselves to be exposed to media newscasts that begin with the principle, if it bleeds, it leads. To us, in our lives, where the only thing that seems abundant is bad things and bad news, here's a lampstand that shines a bright, warm light of future hope to our hearts. But what I want you to notice, the most important thing about the tabernacle, verse 8, is this. God is there. Notice it says, I will dwell among them. Not just paying a visit, I'm going to live there. Now, it may seem odd to us for God to ask His people to construct a tent. We usually associate tents with tailgating at our favorite state university. Or we associate tents with camping out, something I've yet to experience. But to the Israelites, tent meant one thing, home. So when the Lord says, build a tent for me, the good news is this. God is moving into the neighborhood. New Testament scholar Vern Porthres puts it this way. The Israelites realized God's tent had rooms and a yard and a fireplace like their own tents had. Now just try to wrap your mind around this for just a moment. In the tabernacle, which is a picture of our past and our future, God lives with us. Everywhere they went, they set up this tabernacle. As in Eden, God lives with His people. It reminds us of what we had, what we will have one day. It's a signpost pointing forward, pointing us to this time in the future when we will live in the blessed personal presence of the Lord. And we even see these dynamics here. Look at chapter 25, verse 10. Speaks of a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 wide, 1.5 high, overlay it with pure gold. In the tabernacle, the ark had the same proportions, historically, as the footstool of an ancient king. See, when a king sat on his throne, he put his feet on a footstool. And in our true home, we need to realize God is totally in charge. He rules the home by His love and by His law. In verse 21, it speaks of putting the testimony, which is the law of God. Now think about this. In our eternal home, there will be no rebellious children. There will be no selfishness, no strife, no lawlessness, no murder, no stealing, no lying, no immorality, no being discontented with what you have, no making up your own rules, no doing your own thing. You know, we've heard the saying, love is blind, but actually in the Bible, love is not blind. The eyes of love is the law of God. God's law shows us how to love Him, how to love other people. We once embraced that. We once loved God. We once loved other people. One day we will embrace that dynamic again. There's another dynamic, and that's this. In our true home, we will have fellowship with God. Look at 25:30. It says, put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. Most of your homes, you have a place where you eat your meals. Growing up at 200 Short Bay Street, every day at least one meal, perhaps two a day, we ate in the kitchen. Around the table, the Justleys would gather, sometimes with guests, oftentimes with guests, share food and life together. Table became for me a place of fellowship, a place of community. Well, you notice in that verse, there's food on the table. You know what? It's not because God's hungry. This food is an open invitation from God. Come. Enjoy community with me. You're always welcome at this table. This is a place of provision and protection. You're safe here. You know, a fellowship meal in the presence of God is the goal of our salvation. You see, the Bible ends with the marriage feast of the Lamb. To feast with the Lord. It's a reminder. And the other dynamic is this. In our true home, there's life, there's light. We saw the lampstand. It gives light. The light never goes out. There's instruction for olive oil to always be feeding the light. Burns 24/7. Reminds us what C.S. Lewis said. And, you know, right now in this world, we live in the shadowlands. But one day we will live totally in the light. Friends, don't you long to live in the light? Now think of what you had. Think of what you lost. But think of the place you long to return. You know, it's a place of value you can't calculate. A place of nourishment, a place of abundance. 25, verse 8 again, the place where God lives in your neighborhood. Have you ever noticed that having celebrities in the neighborhood gets people all in a twitter? Remember, we used to go down to Gulf Shores and, guess what? Cindy Crawford lives on Ono Island. Really? Well, good for her. Can you imagine what this community would do if Brad Pitt moved into Dogwood? Or Brett Favre moved into Lineage? Or if an ex-president moved into Cross Gates? That's all we'd be talking about. It's a big deal because where you live, where a celebrity lives, is a big deal. But friends, understand, this is where God lives. And it's a place where we fellowship and enjoy community. It's a place full of light and life with no darkness at all. It's a place we've lost. It's a place we long for. Friends, that's our home. You know, the novelist Thomas Wolfe once said, you can't go home again. Well, Wolfe was wrong. You can go home again. But how? That leads us now to the second message of the tabernacle. We looked at loss and longing, but notice in the second place. Now you can look at your insert. Notice in the second place, the tabernacle reminds us of the only way back to our true home. Tabernacle reminds us it is a map that gives us the only way back to our true home. And by the way, the way back is not a religion. You can't get there with religion. It's not a spiritual path. The way back is a person. Let me quote this to you. John chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to be quoting a lot of scripture here if you want to jot this down. But listen to what it says. Speaking of Jesus, John 1, 14. The Word became flesh and tabernacled for a while among us. And we have seen His glory. Friends, Jesus is the way back home. In Jesus, God made His home among us so He can bring us back home. John 14, 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Notice, a place, an actual place. Now, imagine with me, as you look at this insert, Jesus taking you on a tour of the tabernacle. You see, because this tabernacle is a symbol of Jesus. Everything in this tabernacle speaks of Jesus, who is the only one who leads us home. Notice the gate there. The gate. Jesus looks at the gate and He says, you know, notice it's on the east, you're east of Eden. And did you notice there's only one gate that lets us in? There's only one gate that takes us home. John 10, 7, I am the gate. You want to go home this morning? There's only one way in. That's through Jesus. Once you go through the gate in the courtyard, He'd point to this bronze altar. And He would say, you know, when I offered myself as a once and for all sacrifice, that put an end to all the other sacrifices. You know, priests used to come and sacrifice bulls and goats. That blood could cancel sin, but it couldn't, no, it could cover sin, excuse me, just cover sin. It couldn't cancel it. You see, Hebrews 10:4 said Jesus' sacrifice put an end to all those other sacrifices. And then the basin of water. You know what? You no longer have to wash yourself and clean your act up to come into My presence. You don't have to clean yourself up to come here. I provide the only cleansing you need to take the sin out of the fabric of your life. It's My blood. 1 John 1:7. That's the detergent. It's the only cleansing you need. It's My blood of forgiveness. Now you enter the tent, the holy place. He points to the lampstand. Perhaps He quotes John 8:12. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He points over here to the bread of the presence. I'm the bread of life. John 6:33. He points to this altar of incense and He says, hey, remember, incense represents prayers going up. And I am the one, I'm the great high priest. And you know what I'm doing right now? Every second of every day, of every week, of every year of your life, I never stop praying for you. Think about that. Never does Jesus ever stop praying for us. I live to make intercession. Hebrews 7:25. I am your prayer warrior. But then comes the tension here. Jesus points to this very thick curtain. And He says, you know, for hundreds of years, in the tabernacle, then the temple, this thick curtain was a reminder that because of your sin, you cannot enter the Holy of Holies. You may not have a personal relationship with the Holy God. Friends, sin makes us inaccessible to God. Sin keeps us away from home. Sin shuts the door. So you stand before this thick curtain. So close. So far away. You can see the light. You hear the sounds of feasting. You smell the food. But until you get past that into the Holy of Holies, you're not home. Bad news. Bridge is washed out. But here's the good news of the gospel. Jot this down because it occurs in a narrative. It's easy to lose. Let me read it to you. Here's the good news of the gospel. This is in the occasion of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 27. Listen to verses 50 and 51. Listen now. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Friends, it's not from bottom to top. It's not religion. It's top to bottom. It's by God's initiative. The good news is this. The way home is officially open to you. And why? Chapter 25, verse 17. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Friends, above the footstool, on the top of the footstool, there's this thing called the mercy seat. This is where the blood of Jesus, atoning sacrifice in our place for our sin, was poured out. In other words, on the cross, our sin was paid in full. The penalty for our sin, totally paid up. We're reconciled to God. The great high priest didn't offer a sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. Think about that. Jesus, our great high priest, sacrificed himself. And you know why? It's so we could receive a big welcome home hug from our Heavenly Father. Arms outstretched. See, because of Jesus, the gate to the house is open. The light is on. Your Father is home waiting for you. There's bread on the table. It's time for fellowship. It's time to offer prayer and praise to God. The only thing keeping you from the most holy place, that curtain, has been torn from top to bottom because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And yes, you can go home again if you go home through Jesus Christ. Friends, if I could summarize what you've just heard in a sentence, this would be the sentence. Our longing for home is a longing fulfilled in Jesus. That's it in a sentence. That longing everybody in this room has for home is a longing fulfilled in Jesus. He is our home. He's the one who leads us home. He's the one who propels our gaze with hope over the horizon. Friends, that's the message of the tabernacle. St. Augustine of Hippo put it this way, Lord, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, our home. Beloved, if you're in Christ today, there's a lot can be said about you if you're in Christ, but one thing you can claim for sure is this. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're in Christ, you are homeward bound. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this sense of dislocation so that we'll know that we were created for something much more satisfying than what we have on this earth. Lord, we thank you not only for reminding us in the tabernacle of what this home was like, but for reminding us of the home that we are heading to if we're in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that you have opened up your home to us through the work of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that we would truly live as people who love where we are, but who are homeward bound. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.